Hi, everybody. I'm Brad. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. And if you don't, I'd gladly leave, man. If you don't like what I say, I'll give you Red Fence's phone number after the meeting. And EDC is not even here, So, where'd our new cat go? Oh, well. Anyhow, I'd like to welcome him. Anybody else that is newer, maybe not quite through, and hope you can find here what I've found here. Everything I have good in my life today is a direct result of, being sober in AA. And if you would have told me that I'd be up here saying that kind of stuff, a while back, I'd say, no, let's go to AA. That's not where you want to end up. But if you have ended up here, partying is probably not as good as it used to be. That's the case with me. Your last little episode out there was as good as it's ever going to get for you. I've seen it happen many times over the years. And, it's just that one thought that, I think it's going to be different this time. I know last time, I got beat up and went to jail, the last 499 times, but tonight's going to be different, everybody's laughing because you know what I'm saying. And that was my story, part of my story, that, try to do something different, I tried my butt off to try to be able to drink and not get in trouble, and in the last 4 years, all I got was consequences, I just started out, I drank from 13 to 27, and was sober for 16 years and got loaded. Now I got almost six again. So I'm an example of, you can stay sober a long time, get loaded, and come back and get some more time too, But a lot of people don't make it back because that pride and ego gets in the way. I didn't want to come back and stand up in my regular meetings as a newcomer, but I did. I did everything that I did when I was new again for 30 days, and people kind of look at me, wow, what do you think happened? Got loaded. It's an April Fool's joke, I got sent in on a court card. I don't know if there's anybody in here that got sent in on a court card. I believe that it doesn't matter how you get in here. I don't think it matters one bit how you get here. I've learned that what matters is what you do once you get here. And, I came in here on a court card, so I got another drunk driving. And, I got caught twice. Twice in 1 year, but I got caught twice. And I've been out of the car, field sobriety test probably five or six times, and hammered. And so I could easily have about eight DUIs. For some reason, guy thought I was safe to drive home, and I got let go. But the last DUI I got, the first one, I was 26, bulletproof, invisible, like we all are when we're young, and it ain't gonna happen to me. And went to my drunk driving program drunk, sat in the back, ran my mouth, and changed absolutely nothing. And one thing I did hear is, people who come into this program and continue to drink will get another DUI. I'm like, whatever. I'm back there, like I know something. And sure enough, comes that time when it's, 1:55 and you plan poorly, you're out of booze, and I'll just get in the car and go up there, getting their 12 pack or whatever I'm drinking that time, and you get away with it, and then that's just, it's on, So the last, my last drunk was on a Sunday, and drinking at the beach by myself, driving my 6'2 Bug, great alcoholic car, and bumps all over it, and it was hot wired, I didn't have an ignition, that's how I was driving it around. I was okay with that, it's all right. Anybody else kind of go, why don't you get your ignition fixed, It's like, why? Don't need to. But, I went home and was sitting there by myself and figured, I think I need some cocktails. So I went up and rode my bike up, trying to be responsible, and drank about 40 bucks, whatever, back, this was in 91, so had about 50 bucks, and then drank all that, went back, got my car, and went back, and then I came to, I grew up in Costa Mesa, so it's over on 19th Street. I was in the McDonald's line trying to get food, and got arrested. I got pulled out of the, I look up and I see these lights on. And, I don't know how I got there. I don't know how I got there. I mean, I ran around in blackouts a lot, And, blackout and passout are different. I mean, blackouts, you're going around doing stuff. But passed out, you're usually asleep. You're passed out. Some people get those mixed up. But yeah, I mean, I was over by Kona Lanes at Patrick's Pub, still there. And ended up, I was over on 19th Street trying to get food. And I lived like the other way. So, and I ended up blowing a .29 that night. And people have been way drunker than me, but that's a pretty good buzz. And I came to the next morning in jail at the Costa Mesa City Jail. I'm looking at, just like that, My eyes, they're facing this way on the, the rubber, whatever they're made out of, stuck to it. It's hot and sweaty and you feel like crap. And, think a second, oh, okay, I know where I'm at. I'm wondering why they wouldn't let me, usually they'll let you go in the morning. And, they looked at all the FTAs I had and said, well, it looks like you don't have to go to court. So we're going to give you a ride, So went to court and actually a lot of the stuff that they did, a lot of people were, I'm a good lawyer. And I just went and whatever, what are you going to do to me? Okay, I'll take it. And, like 30 days in jail and a bunch of other stuff that will inconvenience you, like drunk driving programs, twice a week and this and that. And, I had a job, so I got to do work down Huntington Beach, for 26 weekends in a row. That's a lot of weekends. And Saturday and Sunday, I had to be there at 6. And I started going to meetings. And, because I've done, just all the dope and all the stuff pretty much there is to do back then. Now they got stuff out there now. I don't even know what it is. But I started going to meetings, I was a daily pot smoker, and I can remember I got pulled over and I got a ticket for possession. And one time I looked at the cop like, are you really gonna give me a ticket for, it's just pot? Because it's just pot. I'm not hurting anybody, and that's the way I looked at it. That's all it was. It's not a, it should be classified as a drug. That's just the way I feel about it. And I kept doing that. So I was going to meetings, wasn't drinking because, AA means you don't drink. But it didn't say nothing about, or I didn't see the part where it says nothing about, smoking pot 5 times a day and doing some cocaine and all that stuff. So I did that, kept that up for about 5 months until I finally got a sobriety date. I didn't get a sponsor right away because I didn't want to commit to anything. I don't like to join things. And I was doing those drunk driving programs to get my license back. And that's the only reason I was doing that. Because, I had some bad luck. I mean, how many of you have bad luck out there? Bad luck, you're a victim in the wrong place at the wrong time. Just all that stuff. And, I had some friends that were worse than me. That's always good to have friends that are worse. Because, if I get that bad, maybe I'll take a look at the way I'm operating, But, I hung around, kept going to meetings, get my card signed. And I'd just be red-eyed, loaded, and going and get a 30-day chip, because I didn't have to drink for 30 days. And people just kind of, like where your mom used to look at you, kind of shake your head and just go, keep coming back there, pal. And I did. And finally, I just went to a meeting one night, and for whatever reason, I didn't get loaded that day. But, I got a sponsor that night. And he took me through the book. And that was October 15th of 1991. And I did what the guy asked me to do because I didn't know anything about staying sober, until I didn't. And that group of guys pretty much made it clear that, you should take the cotton out of your ears, put it in your mouth. And that's why you have two ears and one mouth hole. Just you need to listen because you don't know anything about staying sober. I said, ooh, okay. I thought I had stuff to say, but they didn't necessarily want to hear it, really. And that's, that's fine. That was good for me because it allowed me to, you know, and they said, and have an open mind while you're doing that. So, you know, I did a lot of listening, and I still do. You know, I still really don't talk that much. But, you know, our friend Red, you know, yeah, buddy, I need you to speak, you know. Yeah, but I'm not going to be there. You know, so, whatever, you know. So, you know, I mostly do, when I ask, you know, I'll never turn down a request in reason, within reason. I've added that in the past few years. But I just kept going to meetings, and when I got that sponsor, and I started going to more meetings, I started hearing more stuff, you know, that meeting was full of some guys who were really talking about steps and strong sponsorship and how, you know, you don't take these steps, you're going to get loaded, you know, and a lot of those guys had like, you know, when you know it all, you have like a year and a half, 2 years, and you know it all, and you got to do it this way, or else you're going to get loaded, and you know, and I drank the Kool-Aid, and I said, okay, you know, I was feeling physically better, but I was still, you know, feeling the same up here, and so, you know, I took that first step, you know, second step, I prayed the third step, I wrote an inventory, you know, and, you know, you hear about all, you know, people get scared about taking an inventory, and it's really nothing to be scared of, you know, really. I think that AA party line BS about, you know, oh, you know, the fourth step, you know, I mean, wait till you get to your ninth step. That's something I didn't want to do, but, all those guys said, you know, these steps work in spite of you, no matter what you think. You know, all we're interested in here is what you're doing and what the action that you're taking. So he goes, well, who do you hate? Why? What did it affect? And what was your part? It's like simple. Oh, I can do that. Yeah. Write down all the people you hate. Then write down, you know, your either what it affected or whatever your part is. And then, you know, just like the four columns there, it's real simple. You know, it was simple for me. And it felt real good to do that fifth step. You know, when you go home, pray. You know, so you take the sixth and seventh step with like that much in the big book. And you do all that stuff, and you get out and start. You know, I started doing my eighth and ninth steps. And you need your inventory for your eighth steps. You don't burn it. You hear people, hey, then we... It was beautiful, and we burned my inventory, and we were one with God. You know, you need to have that thing so you can write your eighth step with us, you know. And so I did that, and then I had to start going out and doing that stuff, and that stuff was more daunting than just writing down some stuff and telling some dude, because I did kind of nudge him, because he didn't get really excited over some of the things that I did, because he probably did the same stuff or worse, you know. And that's usually what's going to happen. And most of the time when I went out and saw those people, you know, that I was received well. You know, I went there to clean up my side of the street, out there say, yeah, I did this, I did that, but you're an a-hole too, you know, you can't do that. But I was told I couldn't use the word sorry, because you've been sorry all your life, and you know, you need to go tell them how you harmed them. And you need to tell them how you can ask them how you can make that right. And that's how I was instructed to do those things. And direct means direct, not, you know, the guy, you can go see the guy in person, don't write him a letter or call him on the phone. You can just make an appointment and you go see him. And, you know, all this is just my experience. You know, you guys can, you know, do what you want to do, but that's just my experience, you know, because I've been saying, sorry, you know, I mean, I've been saying that all my life. I'm sure many of us have too, you know. And pretty soon that just rings hollow. I mean, with my mom, it's just like, you know, she just like roll her eyes, and, you know, it's like the last time. She said, oh, I got to rest again about going to AA, you know. She was, yeah, whatever, you know. And I was sober 2 years before she goes, you really don't drink anymore, do you? You know, and I said, no, Mom, I haven't had a drink for a couple years, you know. And she goes to meetings, and she's gone to a meeting with me a long time ago, and you know, I saw people taking birthdays and everybody clapping, and she goes, so let me get this straight. You know, she's not an alcoholic. She goes, so these people are up there being congratulated for behaving the way they should have been behaving their whole life? And I go, yeah, pretty much. I go, yeah, Ma, that's pretty much it, you know. And, You know, I mean, I maybe your first couple of years, you know, you can say, oh, because I'm an alcoholic, or, you know, people say, da-da-da-da, because I'm an alcoholic. I mean, you know, I got pulled over, I told them I was a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and cops don't care, man. They don't care at all, you know. Most of us don't stay sober, so they're probably thinking, this guy's probably drunk anyways, you know. He says he's a member, but who knows? You know, they're just, you know, it gets to a point in time where you just accept responsibility for the way you act, you know, not blame it on your alcoholism, you know. So, you know, I got through those 9 steps. Like I said, most people, you know, were saying, I'm glad you're doing good. You know, just keep it up. But this one person, you know, I made an appointment and went in and talked to him. And he goes, yeah, it's fine and dandy. But he said, like, you had to cuss in here? You know, that probably not. Yeah. He goes, those fuckers like you never change. They just get better camouflage. You know, and but you know, he's probably right. But you know, that's why I'm kind of going, what do you mean? I'm doing so good, you know, I pulled down, so remember Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. But you know, I really wasn't nice to him and his family, you know, and that's the way he felt. And he said, if I never saw you again, it wouldn't matter one bit to me. Okay, you know, but my side of the street was clean there, man. So since then, you know, I was real active in H&I when I got sober, when I was newer. You know, a bunch of guys put me in the car, would take me around everywhere. And, you know, I was real busy and real active, you know, down in Costa Mesa, you know, in Newport area is where I got sober. And I grew up in Costa Mesa. Got loaded and drunk in Costa Mesa, sold dope in Costa Mesa, and I got sober in Costa Mesa. So you can get sober anywhere, you know, anywhere. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can get sober if you want to. You know, if you've had enough, anyone make some changes, you can get sober. And, you know, I was, like I said, I was 27, riding my bike, taking the bus, because I didn't have a driver's license. So, you know, when I hear that, you know, I can't get to meetings, you know, I don't buy that. Because, I mean, I did it. I mean, I think I'm feeling real proud, you know, being on the bus, you know, at 27, riding a bike, you know, and for a while living with my mom, my mommy again, you know. No, but I mean, I did the work and I got the results. And, you know, like I said, stayed sober for a while, you know, long time. And I've had, you know, and this happens all the time too. I mean, I've heard so many people talk about, you know, getting loaded on pain meds. I've had so many surgeries for my body. It's like, you know, I got to get more surgery next week, as a matter of fact. But you know, I've got 3 shoulder surgeries and all sorts of surgeries in sobriety. And up to this point, they'd give me some stuff, and I'd maybe eat one the next day, and like throw 50 more down the toilet because, you know, I was okay. And for whatever reason, you know, I got my teeth. I got my teeth fixed, right? And had them all. There's a lot of them are crowns, you know. And I had like 9 crowns prep in a day. I don't know if anybody's had those things, because I want to get it done, right? And of course, the dentist gave me some stuff to, you know, because it hurt. And I, you know, I'm not one of those people that say, you know, I mean, the medicine's for a reason. You know, I'm not going to be no martyr. You know, I don't care, I can't, I'm an AA, I can't, you know, that's just not me, you know, and who knows, maybe that was, whatever. I kept eating those things after my teeth didn't hurt anymore, and, because I love opiates, I mean, I like that kind of, I like that a lot, and, I did that for about 5 or 6 months. You know, it got to be about 90 days before my 16th birthday, and you know, it just starts. You just start feeling like you're not part of. You feel like a fraud. You know, I get called up to the podium in my men's meeting. You know, and I'm up there running my mouth, and at the same time, you know, I never got so gacked that I was just nodding. You know, I know people that have done that. So I'm going, well, he was coughing and nodding. Table right there in front of the meeting. He says he's sober, but you know, it doesn't matter. I was trying to justify what I was doing so hard, just like I was talking about my pride and ego. You know, I don't want to give up my time. You know, and that's your ego and your pride. And you know, I didn't take a drink. Didn't do any street drugs, you know, which, I mean, if I would have taken a drink, we're all not, but I'm a bad drunk, and I'd probably be divorced today. And who knows where I'd be, because once that gets going, I'd hate to see, you know, I haven't had a drink for like 22 years, you know, and I'd hate to see what would happen, man. God, that'd be ugly. But I ended up, like I said, I was trying my ass off, you know. And then I got my sobriety date tattooed on my back here, right? And, whatever. But actually, it'll work because people ask me, I asked the day I quit drinking, and it's true. I haven't had a drink since that day. And my first sponsor was, you could just cross out the date and write oops on there. Yeah, I know. But he was a sponsor of mine, a really good friend of mine. But yeah, and I go, yeah, that was pretty funny when he said that. I mean, look all serious. Yeah. But it just got to the point where I couldn't look anybody in the eye. And you know, I know why people leave a drink or put a gun in their mouth, because for like 3 days, it wouldn't leave me alone. You know, it would not leave me alone. And I even went, I went to a Catholic church, right? One of my days off. This is what I'll do. I'll go catch this priest over here. And I'll, it says, yourself, God, and another person, right? Okay. Well, I'll go cop out to this guy, and then I'll be okay, you know? And I went there, you know, and went to where the priests were, their office, whatever it's called, a rectory or whatever, out to lunch. Swear to God, you know? And then finally, like, the next day, it was the 4th of July. I mean, I was, you know, sitting around the house just looking like as uncomfortable as anybody could look. My wife goes, what's the matter with you? And I told her, I go, I've been getting loaded for about 5 months, you know. And then I called about 10 of my good buddies, and that was my new sobriety, you know, 7307. So, and then, I went to all my new meetings, all the meetings I've been going to, and stubbed as new for 30 days, which was humbling. And, you know, you got to have a little bit of humility here, you know. To me, humility just means to remain teachable and not think you know it all. And a lot of new people will get humility and humiliation mixed up, and they have nothing to do with one another. I don't think so. You know, and it just took a little bit of humility just to stand up and say, yeah, I'm new. Whatever, you know. And a buddy of mine took me 2 steps again. And so I've just been, you know, kind of cruising along since then. You know, I got married in sobriety back in, I should know this date, but it's going to be 8 years, 727, what's 13 minus 8? Yeah, 2005, thanks, I don't know, 6. If I think about it, I can pull off the date, I just got to think about it. And she's, you know, she's a sober gal too, and you know, and plus she had 2 little girls. They were like 13. I knew they were 13 and 11 when we started dating. And I mean, and those kids were like a whole other story and a whole other meeting. You know, because you know the little one, you know, she liked to drink, and been like this gnarly stuff that we had to do. And like my buddy Dennis back there. I mean, I had to go to Al-Anon for my kid, man. So I guess I'm a traitor. But, I mean, it saved our marriage, saved our lives, you know. And when I was new, I'd always make, you know, Al-Anon jokes, haha, but saved my family, you know. And my wife, yeah, I have the same job, been on the same job for 19 years. Got a lot of the same friends. Don't sponsor too many guys lately, you know. Don't run around chasing people. You know, if somebody asks me for help, I'll help them. And, other than that, you know, new guy's back. Have you ever tried to get sober before? It's not saying your first time in AA, is it?
No.
Yeah, okay. So it's probably a good chance you know what you need to do. You know, and I'm a firm believer in, you know, I know what I need to do to stay sober, and that's what I do. You know, I don't tell people what to do, or it's busy. It's hard enough work just worrying about myself and trying to worry about everybody else. You know, like I said, those 1-2 year people, they'll tell you what to do, and they'll tell you how to do it and when to do it, and because I'm, you know, I'm an AA, you know. But nothing personal against anybody of 1 or 2 years. But I was there, man. I was there. I mean, I did the same thing. You get on fire, and that's good, man. You get on fire for this program, and you want to share it with everybody, but everybody doesn't want to hear that. You know, at least that was my experience. And there's no really brand new people in here, but when I was new, you want to go skip from no steps to your ninth step, you know, without doing the ones in between, because you're so sorry. And I think I uttered that one time, and this one guy got me and said, "Dude, leave those poor people alone." That's true. Think about it. Think about when you were new, and think about all the stuff that you've done to your parents or your family. You know, leave those poor people alone, man. You know, it's funny, but it's leave them alone until you get to the proper step. Then you can go do that stuff. And I used to volunteer my time down at the step house in Costa Mesa, and you know, those guys are, you know, in their first, you know, 10 days, but they're on the phone because they got stuff to do, you know. And I tell them, I go, "Dude, leave your mom alone, man, leave everybody alone, you know, because, you know what I mean, right? Leave them alone. I mean, God, you've inflicted enough on them. Get yourself straight, then you can go back and do that stuff, like I said, when the time's right, you know, because most of the people, "I'm sorry," and then, like, you know, they're loaded in 30 days, and that just gives A&A a bad name. You know, they think A&A don't work, you know, just like kind of, you know, Daryl Strawberry, you know, going on TV and talking about, you know, AA, and then, you know, next headline, he's loaded, you know, it's like, "Oh, AA really works really good," you know, because, like I said, everything good in my life is a direct result of me being sober here, man. And I think my time's up. Hopefully I've talked long enough where I don't have to answer questions. So, thank you.